I want to go to Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7, and just remind us of what Paul says in this letter when he's talking to the Philippians and inviting them to rejoice. And we have been reading through the letters of Paul in our house this semester, and it has been a really, really inspiring time for us. The Lord has spoken to us as a house. He has spoken to me individually a lot in different parts of the letters. And as we all know very well, in Philippians 4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And I believe the Lord has tonight a word for us of joy and a word of peace from these words. And I was really experiencing the Lord calling me to live this season of Advent as a time of preparation in joy and in peace. So it's not, it's a time of waiting for something, expecting something to happen. And now that I am getting ready for my exams, for my final exams, it's not waiting for something like an exam where you get like all anxious and you need to make sure everything is in place. And it's really more waiting for a guest that you have been expecting for a while and that you're very excited to receive. This is the kind of waiting that I think the Lord wants for us to have in this season. So, just gonna say some comments on different verses here. The Lord wants us to rejoice in this time. He says, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." And when I look, brothers, at the world around, and when I look at the world inside me, I don't find a lot of reasons to rejoice. I actually find a lot of reasons to be worried. And of course, the Lord knows this, and He knew, the Lord knew we would be worried about these kind of things. And as we look at the world and we read the news, however you receive information from the world, we might forget that the Lord had already warned us what kind of attitude to have towards this. In Luke 21, very known passage in verse 25, Jesus says, "There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves. Men fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world." And the Lord says very clearly, "When these things begin to take place, look up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." So I think we are looking at around us and we see men fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. And we look at the society, we look at the Christian people, we maybe look even at our own environments and mission places where we are working, and we say, things are not going in a very good direction. The world is really, really seems to be going downhill. And I have to say, for the short years I have been around, this is one of the main things I hear from the people who have been here for a longer time. The world right now is in a pretty bad place. And that, of course, is not super encouraging. Now, men my age and younger, I think we tend to see a lot less of what's going on in the world and look at a lot more at ourselves and what's going on in ourselves. And I think that also can be a little discouraging sometimes. And we focus on our past, on our shortcomings, our sin. We focus on how far we are from being the men that we are trying to follow and trying to imitate. And we also get discouraged. And in all these different places or sources of discouragement that we have, The Lord says, rejoice. And he says, rejoice always. It's not rejoice during the Easter season or rejoice on Sundays or rejoice on your birthday, but it's rejoice always. Every time, every day, all the time, always rejoice. And for some reason, Paul repeats it. He says it again, rejoice. And why do we rejoice? Well, because we know our redemption is drawing near. We know the Lord is going to come and he has the final word. And in this season, I think one of the main things for me is to say, okay, Advent, I need to take my eyes off how bad things are everywhere and look at the Lord that is coming and know that he is coming. We just prayed a while before, he will renew all things, destroy every evil, and establish the eternal reign of God on earth. Those are great things that I hope happen very soon. And these are the reasons why we should rejoice. Then Paul says, let all men know your forbearance, the Lord is at hand. And really, this is a word that confused me a little in English and also in Spanish. And I found that, you know, that what the word that Paul uses is something like epikes, and it means being mild, being gentle, being patient. And Paul is saying, let all men know you for your moderation, for being people who are patient, who are mild, who are gentle. And I was reading this passage, and this passage really strikes me because I asked myself, what am I known for? What do people know me for? And I think, I say, what is Miguel known for? And I wonder if it's for my forbearance. And I ask myself, what are my brothers, the people that I live with in my house, what is my house known for? What are the servants of the word known for? What are we as part of the Christian people known for? And I, of course, review my life and I say, well, am I known, for instance, am I known for complaining all the time? Am I known for having strong opinions or for always pushing back when I have a different idea? Or am I known for not appreciating other people's virtues and other people's good acts and good efforts? Am I known for always talking only of doom and gloom? Or am I known really for being gentle and patient and for my forbearance? Am I known for loving, for being joyful, for being patient, for being grateful and honoring other men who live around me? Am I known for serving? And this is a season where the Lord wants us to think about what are we known for as we prepare for his coming. And I think of men who are examples to me of this. If I think, well, who is known for being joyful? I think of a man who lives in my house, Stuart Meyer, who always seems to be happy about everything. Peter Mayores always seems to have a good attitude about everything. Now, I am very different from these men, as surprising as that may seem. But I can learn from them, and I can learn from them to be joyful and to try to be more joyful, to have a different attitude towards life, towards the future, towards anything. There's another source of joy that I have found, which is thanking, giving thanks to people. And I learned this when I was in my last summer of formation here, living in Commonwealth. I was really inspired by the way in which the brothers there always said thank you for everything. And I don't know, I mean, it was like really amazing. Whatever you did, thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Doc. And I was like, man, these guys are always saying thank you. And that makes such a difference in our life. And I think this is something also that I said, I want to do this more in my life. I want to tell men what I respect of them. Men that I live with, men that are close to me, how much I respect them and why I respect them. I want to do these things. I want to be known for these things as I wait, as I wait for the coming of the Lord. So the question, what am I known for? Paul then says, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, the brothers of my cell group know that sometimes I can get a little anxious from time to time. And it's not, you know, Paul says, don't get anxious about anything. But I think I have realized in the last weeks or months that I tend to get anxious about everything. And I had this very strong experience in the last months, looking at my future and looking at what's going to happen with me once I finish my studies here and everything. And I realized I really need to be less anxious, and I need to grow in trust. And through different brothers and different times talking about this, I realized I need to trust more in the Lord. I have to grow in my trust. And I think a time of awaiting, of coming, of waiting for His coming, waiting for Him to come and set things right, it's a time to grow in my trust that He's going to do it. And to be less anxious about everything. And I think the question here that I ask myself is, do I believe the Lord can do something? Do I believe the Lord can do anything about this particular situation, whatever it is? And I think in my particular case, I get really anxious about the future. Do I believe the Lord can do something about it? Some of us might be very anxious about our present, and either our present or the present around us. And I say, do we believe the Lord can do something about it? Some of us can even be anxious about our past, the things that are in our past that are marking us right now or whatever. And again, do I trust the Lord can do something about it? Do I present all these things to Him in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving? It could be the current state of affairs in the world. Does it make me anxious? It could be whatever is going on in my house, in my relationships, in my service. And the question is, am I just feeding my anxieties within me? Or am I presenting the prayer as supplication to the Lord? And also giving Him thanks for the good things that I do have. And I think there's something there of this season that is not only of awaiting, but also of giving thanks to the Lord for the things that He has already done for us. He will intervene with power, and He already has intervened with power, and He will continue to do it. Then Paul says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And we talk a lot about guarding our hearts in our life, but I wanted to just look at a little, or for a moment, about at guarding our minds, letting the peace of God keep our minds. And as I said already, I think a lot, and I really need to guard my mind. I really need to be disciplined about how I let my thoughts flow. And I ask myself this question, like, what am I doing to guard my mind these days, to let the peace of God keep my mind? Am I reading more than I need to be reading, from the media, from papers, from all kinds of opinions and sources of different information? Do I listen to more than I should be listening to? Am I opening my mind to all these voices from the world that could actually just make me more anxious and less joyful? I need to guard my mind, and I need to let the peace of God guard my mind. And the peace of God, says Paul, passes all understanding. It goes beyond everything we can explain, everything we can understand. So I think really I don't understand a lot of what's going on in the world. I don't understand a lot of things in my own life, and the peace of God passes all that understanding. And I don't understand the future, And as good as my ideas may seem, I don't have all the solutions and answers to everything around me. But the peace of God surpasses all understanding. And he has everything under control. And he's gonna make it better. So I need to let the peace of God keep my mind in Christ Jesus. And I have begun actually using this verse at the end of night prayers. When we are coming out of night prayers, I use this verse and I ask the Lord for the peace of God to keep my thoughts in Christ Jesus through the night. Because I think many times I just go to bed and the mind starts its work. And really, God wants to keep me from that. He wants to guard my thoughts, whether they be of fear, anxiety, any kind of temptation, bad attitude towards anything. And the word here that Paul uses is really interesting because it's really keeping us guarding in a military protection against a hostile invasion. I guess all invasions are hostile, but really, what God wants to do is put around our minds some kind of wall of protection that will keep invasion away. And which means we can be really seriously invaded in our minds. But he wants to keep that from happening with his peace. And this always leads me also to 2 Corinthians 10:5, where Paul says, "We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle to the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." And yes, you know, you read this in its context, and it probably Paul is talking about those who oppose the gospel and all, but I really am struck by these words that we take every thought captive to obey Christ. And these are things that challenge me, because I think many times my own thoughts and my own arguments just go out of control and feed that anxiety and undermine the joy that the Lord wants me to keep in this time of awaiting. If I let the peace of God that passes all understanding to keep my mind, I will grow in trust that he will come and make things right. So brothers, as we prepare for the coming of our Lord, and as we prepare for this season of to celebrate the incarnation at the end of this season, I think we have some questions that we can ask ourselves. Am I rejoicing always? Am I living a joyful awaiting? Am I known for my forbearance? Am I living a patient awaiting? Am I anxious? Or are my thoughts captive to obey Christ? And I pray the Lord may increase our joy and our peace in this season, and that his peace, which passes all understanding, may keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.